Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The destination for Boston sports fans.
Sports Radio 93.7. WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of Fitzy and Mego with the great Andy Hart is brought to you by Brigham Gill Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
He's a Boston sports superfan.
What's up, Nick?
Yeah. All right, Tom.
She's on the beat for a new generation of sports fans.
What is the Justice League? Is that the same thing as the Avengers?
I like this lady that you have on the line. She makes a lot of sense. Tell her what you wish now.
Now I wish he fell.
It's Fitzy and Mego.
The name of this show should be Off the Rails.
Your narcissism is ruining the program.
I'm sorry. I'm a disaster.
Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
From your favorite dumpy little building in beautiful, safe Brighton, Massachusetts, on a day so perfectly autumnal it smells like an L.L. Bean catalog outside, it's actually Fitzy and Mego on WEEI and the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Thank you guys for purchasing and participating today. It's Buy Fitzy and Mego, get Andy Hart for free. Fitzy, Mego, and Hart coming at you on a sports Saturday here in Boston and all across WEEI Sports Nation. You can jump in and join us at any time. Give us a ring at 617-779-7937. Producer Stanley Stiz Grimy Bruno will pick up the line, say, yo, what up, Stiz? You should do some sit-ups and then tell us what you want to talk about. And of course, you can also hop in our virtual sandbox on the text line at 37937. First, we'll say hello to my previous and now once again co-host with the co-most, Megan Ottolini from Quickslants and the Herald. What up, Mego?
Was that the co-most?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, you're the co-most.
Okay. All right. Thank you. How's
been a
going?
While. Been a minute. How
I
you doing?
I know. Been running around in this football season, man. It's crazy. I can't believe we're already week 10.
Isn't it insane that
it's flown.
That the Patriots are 9 out of 17 games in. We're actually now past the halfway point. It has flown by. I feel like it's been several different seasons already, and we'll get to that in a little bit as to where you think these Patriots are over or underrated. 5-4 now, sitting at the seventh slot of seven in the AFC for the playoffs. And joining us remotely from his grumpatorium, the one and only from WEEI.com, Andy Hart. What's up, Hart?
Feeling a little awkward. Not going to lie to you.
Is that different for you than usual?
Well, I'm never awkward. The one thing I bring to this world is awkward. I don't give a rat's ass what anybody else thinks. I'm very comfortable in my own skin, but I feel like I dated somebody who separated from their spouse for a while, and then now the spouse got back together, and we're all kind of having dinner at the house, and it's a little awkward.
Well, you're not actually here, so we don't feel weird at all.
So Mego and I are. So Mego and I were, we were radio dating, and then. We
separated.
Weren't, and now we're separated.
Listen, if we're radio dating, then I'm just polygamous because I got a show. I'm on Tom Curran's show.
You are.
I'm working for the Herald.
And we don't judge.
Night,
yeah, so. You literally, like, it's unbelievable.
This is going a weird direction.
You
already.
And Callahan are buddies. It's like so many different, like, so you have so many different sports relationships in town. And you know what? That's fine. I'm happy to talk Pats with anyone, anywhere, anytime. But Andy, in your whole picture there, that construct, if Mego and I are having a reunion dinner, we put you on speakerphone at the table, which is odd.
Which is even more awkward, right?
I know.
Like,
yeah,
I'm eavesdropping.
Okay.
I'm here just in case you need me, but you don't really want me there because you guys are trying to patch things up and get back together. But I'm ready. Whatever you need me to do, I'm here. Light load, heavy load, ready to roll.
Super fired up for tomorrow's game. Looks like the weather's going to be about the same tomorrow for the 1 o'clock kickoff.
Yep.
The 5-4 Cleveland Browns. the former Bill Belichick team against the 5-4, 7-seed playoff bound, as of right now in Week 10, New England Patriots. Pats winners of 3 in a row. Browns turned it around and laid the smackdown last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. Always love a battle of Ohio. Of course, Nick Chubb is officially out with COVID-19, as is running back Demetri Felton. No Kareem Hunt. He's still on IR, yet to be activated. But the Browns consistently, over the last 3 years, Mego, play much better football when Odell Beckham Jr. is gone. Side note to that, just learned a few minutes ago, Odell Beckham Jr., now the number two receiver on the Los Angeles right. Rams, as Robert Woods has unfortunately torn his ACL. So the Rams have gone from, do we really need Beckham, to, wow, we really need Beckham. I digress. Pats, 5-4, winners of 3 in a row. Browns looking better without Odell Beckham Jr. The two teams are ultimately, or more similar, I believe, Mego, than a lot of people would probably look and surmise. What's your gut feeling about this game tomorrow?
I may be way off, and Andy, you can jump in here at any point you want.
I feel
like it's going to be a close one. Like, this is such a toss-up game if there has been one so far this season. It just feels like it's on a knife's edge. It helps you a lot. No doubt that Chubb is out. Unfortunate for the Browns. Very fortunate for you. Mac has, at best, plateaued over the last 2 weeks, and I think that you're going to have to do a lot of work through the air because we don't know what's going on with the two running backs at this point still, Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, which have provided a lot of your offense recently. So you're just up against a lot. The defense for the Patriots has been looking a lot stronger, I think, personally, over the last several weeks. So they're going to have to show up and show out. But, like, some of the defensive plays have even, I think, been a little bit overrated. You know, like J.C. Ooh. Jackson's Ooh. Interceptions. Ooh. One of those fell right literally into his lap.
Fitzy, sounds like we got a hater in the mix.
Someone's drinking the haterade.
Like I said, on the other side, I think that the Patriots can do the defense behind the Belichicks can draw up a lot of ways to confuse Baker Mayfield. And right. if you can confuse Baker, I think that will be the key to this game.
So, Andy,
yeah, I think in one sense, yep. I'm really excited for this game because, okay. I mean, I saw a weird tweet from our friends in the morning, the producers show, mm-hmm. With Shime and Anderson and the cast of
And a lot of their tweets usually are analytics-based because John and Shime, and John Anderson specifically, he had the Taylor Swift sweater yesterday on the radio, John is, like, way into the next level analytics, and so usually, like, the pieces he put up on WEI.com this week were well-informed, but look at things from a different numerical perspective than, we'll say, the average fan or, like, the hotheads on the radio.
But that's what everyone's dying for, is math.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very exciting and entertaining to talk numbers.
Numbers.
Stats.
Well, they never
rankings.
Lie, and they help win and lose
they
games.
Do. They actually lie sometimes.
But you can manipulate them. Anyway,
yes.
Go ahead, Andy.
I make a career of it. More importantly, though, they posed the question in their Power Hour this mm-hmm. morning, is this a trap game or a letdown game? I forgot the phrasing, and I'm like,
for the Patriots?
No, it's a flipping playoff game. They have the same record as you. You guys are trying to get to the exact same spot, and you're essentially in the exact same place. Both teams are battling injuries. This is, to me, the opposite of a letdown game. I'm a little let down because I honestly would have liked to have seen Chubb, and I agree with you, Mego, the Patriots defense, especially their run defense, has been a lot better of late. I wanted to see just an old-fashioned slobber knocker, Pat's front, this Cleveland offensive line.
God. Interesting choice of words,
yeah,
right?
I don't know what that...
I think it's a wrestling term.
I don't think he's let in the building anymore is what's happening.
It might be that. Andy, are the signs that are affixed to your front lawn that let people know about you living in the neighborhood, are they permanent?
Come on. You find that information online. There's no signs.
Well, let me give you this. Okay, so I agree with you. Like, you always want to beat another team at their best with your best. You want to you want to take their best punch, deliver your best, and hopefully you're the one still standing at the end of the fight.
Not if it's me.
Personally, I am all about opportunity.
Just win, baby.
So people like Andy will say, I am a JWB, just win, baby type as well. All I want them to do, be opportunistic. Take what's given to you, or rather play the team in front of you. Do your best to get the win. Let me give you this, though, Mego, to your thought about the Patriots and their recent defensive surge or success being mildly overrated. Andy, tell me what you think of this. I picked this up this morning from my pal Deep Thread on Twitter. The Patriots have scored on 43 of their 96 drives for a 45% conversion rate. That is fifth best in the NFL, speaking to their offense. Four teams, they're all trailing. Combined record of 26-8, Rams, Bills, Cardinals, Cowboys. Mm-hmm. All four pretty good teams, playoff teams. Conversely, on the defensive side, the Patriots have allowed opponents to score only 31 of their 98 drives for a 31.5% conversion rate, also fifth best in the NFL.
Yeah, but who are you playing?
So are we talking, so we're talking that the Chiefs.
That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah, it is a lot of numbers. You were told there'd be no math.
Yeah, but, it was. Are you trying to tell me they're good or bad?
Well, use a word. I'm trying to tell you that they're validating their place as a potential top 10 team, that they are a good team. They're better than their 5-4 record indicates.
Oh, we're still doing that?
When Mego says,
no doubt, I agree with that completely, that they are better than the 5-4 record. Like, I think that there are rare cases where you say, oh, the record isn't really who they are. And I think the other case would be, like, the boogeyman Patriots.
Correct.
That's the other side of the coin. Yeah,
yes.
That's the other side of the coin. But this, I totally agree with you there. But to call this a trap game, I agree.
Stupid.
Because that would be supposing that the Browns are a bad team. And I don't think the Browns are a bad team. I think the Browns are very close to you.
Correct.
It would also kind of imply that, because I think this Patriots team has proven itself in terms of chemistry, work ethic, metal being tested, whatever kind of cliche you want to throw out there. I think they've proven themselves, and that would be a pockmark against them, Bill Belichick, their leaders, that, oh, yeah, we got a good win in Carolina, so we're just going to try to coast through this Cleveland game, even though, you know, the season's kind of on the line, and it's a borderline playoff game against a team with the same record. That would diminish, to me, what they have kind of proven as themselves as a team in terms of makeup and locker room and all those things. So, yeah, I don't buy it. Dumb.
Well, the other thing I think, if you look back at the point of the season where we are now, if you look back, there's a lot of explanations. There's an explanation for pretty much every way that they played, that they performed, makes sense, except for the Dolphins game in week one.
Oh, I was going to say, except for the Saints game. That truly was.
Well, I think Jameis was a lot better than everyone expected him to be at that point.
The Patriots didn't have the right number of players on the field on defense.
Multiple times.
Again, math.
They were just so unusually flat, and there were such anomalously bad plays made, whereas the Dolphins game quite simply was, if Harris doesn't fumble with 3 minutes and 10 seconds left, you're 6-3, or who knows how that could have,
but
you
I
know,
think the Dolphins, we now
affected.
See the Dolphins are way less talented than we thought that they were, yep. And way less talented than the Patriots, I think.
Their defense looks pretty good the last couple of weeks, though.
But they're not that. We thought they were going to be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. What, they went 10 games last year,
yeah.
I believe, the Dolphins won.
Yep.
So you looked at that opener as, this is a team you need to compete with for maybe second place in the division, maybe a wild card. And now, come to find out, the Dolphins sneaky stink, and you gave one away to them in the opener. That was a bad loss.
But that's where I think about, like, you at the time, you're like, oh my God, during the Texans game, is this team really bad? Are the Patriots bad? But now you can clearly see that was a big hangover from all of the 2 weeks of the Brady stuff.
Oh my gosh,
I think completely. I think this is an emotional team, and I think in some ways I've been concerned about their discipline. Where up until the Chargers game, it seemed like they weren't really they weren't controlling their game. They were playing the other team's game, and sometimes they would play up, and sometimes they would play down to the talent.
Correct.
And I think that's an undisciplined team and an emotional team. But I think it means that if they have the sense that this is a big game tomorrow, that they will show up for it.
They've also, over the last month, kind of dismissed that theory, right? The three-game winning streak. You whooped the Jets, mm-hmm. You went on the road and got arguably your best, or probably not arguably, your best win of the year against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And then when some people thought, oh, maybe they're going to have a hiccup, are they going to go to Carolina? Nope. You whooped Sam Darnold. You brought out the old boogeyman.
That's because Sam Darnold was like your extra Patriots player.
Oh, yes, but you made him look bad.
But that wasn't that difficult, considering he was coming off of a concussion. He has that quote-unquote incomplete fracture of the shoulder that now is going to keep him out a month. Sam Darnold was so bad. Bill Belichick beat the bag out of Sam Darnold so bad, he did Cam Newton a favor and helped him get a job. I love that conspiracy theory floating around on Twitter the last couple of days. That was an easier win, despite, you know, Carolina's best defensive effort with the pass rush and Brian Burns and Steph Gilmore making the two biggest plays for their defense all day long. The bigger win, I agree, was against the Chargers. I think the lump sum of what the Patriots have been able to do the last couple of weeks, flexing on the Jets, getting a big win on the road, taking care of business against a team that couldn't get out of its own way last week, makes sense. Now you've got a team that has rounded into form themselves. Their defense is healthier than it's been in ages. The Browns have an awesome defense on all three levels, a good offensive line. You're getting their backup running back, But that guy went for 150 against the Broncos a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots are going to face a fighter tomorrow that's good, that's got a good hook, that's got a good jab, and that can take a punch. And I think it's going to be, like you said, Mego, a close game, a knockdown, drag-out affair. Andy said
slobber knocker.
Oh, God, we got that in again.
Well, that's why Dante said earlier this week this was going to be the most... I believe it was him who said it. Right?
Yes,
Andy it was. Said it. It's going to be the
garbage
most,
man. Yeah,
the most physical game that they've played this year.
It will be decided in the trenches, he said, which is good old fashioned football. I don't know if it's good, modern Roger Goodell ratings and fantasy football, but it's good old fashioned football for Sunday.
Oh, it's my kind of football. It's 1980s football, and it's the way the game should be. I should say it in my NFL Films voice.
Yeah. It's the way the game should be played.
617-779-7937. How are you feeling about tomorrow's game? Are you confident with the Patriots having won three games in a row? And does Max plateau of late scare you a little bit? And what do you think of these Browns? Let's grab our first call real quick. Of course, he wanted to be first in line. Always, always ready to fire up the masses. Mr. Patriot himself coming in from Southie. Wayno on line two. What up, Wayno?
Hey, what do we got? Three-way going on here?
Excuse me?
That
keep it clean, Wayne.
No. Stiz, you enjoy the North Shore. That's nothing more. That's just good roast beef, cheese, and
Andy,
sauce, man.
That's it. Yes.
You better be quiet because I'm going to tell 50 what you and Mutt got planned for him.
He knows what's coming. When you say dumb things on the radio, you have to answer for them and answer for them often. He knows what's coming.
Well, Kelce is a bum. He's not as good as he used to be. You got him out to be like he's the best guy out there. But anyways, let's get on to the Patriots. This is going to be a great game. This is a game that's going to test their, test their mettle. And I think they're going to be up for it. I see defense playing really well. I want our defense, to play really well. We still don't know. Do we know if Damian or any of them are coming in? Steven?
As far as I know right now, the only player who is officially out before the inactives are listed or any sort of like Saturday deactivations, Jamie Collins is not playing tomorrow. That's the only one. So far, no word on Stevenson, no word on Harris, no word if Trent Brown will be reactivated. And they did have three punters in this week, too, so hopefully Jake Bailey's good.
Sneaky issue there.
Trent Brown, didn't they say he was out there finally practicing?
Yes, he was. And I would like to know
My God, that was a heart attack. I couldn't believe they said that.
What's that, Mega?
One of the punters that they were trying out is a New England boy.
You're kidding.
Nolan Cooney. He's from Rhode Island.
That's amazing. Yeah, a little native punter backup. All right, Wayno, so give me your prediction for the game before we get rolling.
All right, I say 28-20, Pats win.
Wow, 28-20. All right, thank you for the call, buddy. Appreciate you being first in line today on Fitzy, Mego, and Hart. So 28-20. I'm sorry. That's a little high. That hits the over. Right now, I believe the line, and we'll see if one of Stiz's friends in Everett and Chelsea can get us the latest action as to what's going on. I think the line right now sits at 1.5 Pats. You usually get 3 when you're at home, so that tells you Vegas thinks that the Browns can keep up with the Pats. And the over-under is like 45.5, which is a surprisingly high number.
Yes.
I don't see more than 40 points being scored in this game tomorrow, do you?
No. But again, it's like at this point, this kind of game, I feel like these two teams must be game planning the hell out of it to the point that we're going to see it's going to be a kitchen sink game.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see Josh get borderline cute, throw out some of the other quarterbacks on the field that show up sometimes.
Yep.
Jacoby and
Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, Kendrick Bourne
threw the touchdown to Aguilar. Myers, by the way, again, he's now setting new marks every week in the NFL for the most completions, the most passes that have been targeted to a wide receiver in NFL history without a touchdown. His dad goes to all these games, probably has his iPhone held up in the air for all 3 hours, just hoping he can finally get, and by the way, Mr. Myers, there are probably plenty of other places where you can get the highlight, should your son finally catch his first touchdown. They're going to need him tomorrow, but the problem is the Browns have two good safeties, two excellent young corners. I think it's going to be a tough day for the Pats to be able to work the ball down the field tomorrow, Andy.
Not only corners, they have, I think they're second in the NFL in sacks. Obviously, Myles Garrett is a defensive player of the year type guy on the edges. You got Clowney on the other end. They can get after it. And if you have some changes to the offensive line, depending on Trent Brown or whatever's going on, or if you just have Isaiah Wynn out there and he's playing like he plays at times, which is not very well, you don't want to hold on to the ball too long. And you don't want to throw. That's why I'm in a weird spot, and I'm really intrigued with what Megan just said. Mego. I felt weird calling you Megan, even though it's your real name. Mego just said, I think they're going to game plan the hell out of this, and I think one team may regret getting away from who they are. I don't think either of these teams is built or suited to, like, throw the ball 35 or 40 times. That's just not what they do. They have offensive lines. They have running backs, generally, that are healthy and carry the load. And I think you could get into the point where both of these good defenses could start feasting on a couple quarterbacks who are asked to do more than they really should be.
But they're both, yeah, I mean, because they're both limping into this game with their running game.
Right.
I mean, the Patriots, we don't know with the bruised brains club, which right now is Damian Harris. What is that? Is that in poor taste?
I don't think we're supposed to do that anymore. That was like 10 years ago you could mock.
It bruises your brain.
Yeah, but you made it sound silly. The Bruised Brain Club.
Yeah, that sounded like a book series I read in seventh grade.
Okay. Yeah, the Bruised Brain. It's one of those graphic novels or whatever.
The concussion protocoled players.
The little blue tenters.
Okay.
Thank you. Nope. That sounds weird again.
That got weird.
Why don't we just go back to 1980?
They got their bell rung. Get back in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
The salt sniffers. No, that sounds weird too.
Also, we don't know about Gunner.
Oh, yep. That's right. Gunner was actually in concussion protocol this week as well.
Who's going to be returning your punts because Jacoby said it wasn't going to be him because
he's benching himself, I think.
Yeah, no, you can't have I'll throw everyone back to November of 2019. Patriots have recently acquired Mohamed Sanu for a second-round pick. In his first game, he has 10 receptions for 84 yards and a touchdown against the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, okay, I guess this guy is going to work out. Bye week, go to Philadelphia. They don't have a punt returner. They put, because Edelman is too banged up to do it. Sanu goes in, gets his ankle twisted 360 degrees around.
Mac Jones tackled him?
Yeah, exactly. Mac Jones tackled him.
We're going to get to that, by the way. But, I mean, I guess you put...
Don't put Jacoby back there.
They'll probably throw... They're going to activate J.J. Taylor, so maybe they throw J.J. back
there.
He's
one of 2.5 healthy running backs. You can't sacrifice him.
He's the only...
Somebody's got to return
him. Have Matthew Slater catch it and take a knee. That's it.
Duggar could. Duggar has a history.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
You're right.
Duggar could do it.
Who else has the speed and the deke moves?
I got to think more of the receivers have, right? I don't know.
But
I haven't researched
this. Who's
really
fast on your receiving corps?
Like Nelson Aguilar.
If
Nelson Aguilar is not going to catch passes, the surest thing he can do is actually get his butt back there and maybe return a punt with his fast leg.
How confident are you he's going to catch? I mean, he does have the hands
not
of Aguilar.
Not at all. But you didn't ask that.
What about Wilkerson, maybe, if they activate? He could get a practice squad elevation like he did for N'Keal Harry last week.
I don't like
week.
That we're spitballing like key roles. Ah, how about this guy? You think he could do it? You think this is happening in the coaches' rooms down at Gillette?
That's
Andy.
What they did with Jacoby Myers. They threw him out there. And
yeah, I know, and
turf.
It didn't end well.
So that's why I'm saying I don't think it's unrealistic to toss these names out there. About. I think we'll see J.J. Taylor, and I don't know who else.
I think what you could actually see is Jacoby Myers out there, fair catch it. Just catch the ball. We'll take possession.
Yep.
We need to make sure we have possession at the end of this play. We don't need your extra 8 yards or whatever and then risk a fumble or anything weird happening. Jacoby, get back there. Wave your hand in the sky, and then the offense will come on the field and join you.
617-779-7937. Obviously, we have concerns aplenty about tomorrow's game. Patriots versus Browns, 1 p.m. What are your concerns? How are you feeling? And are you confident the Patriots can keep up with and or defeat the Browns in this pivotal, humongous, huge AFC showdown tomorrow? We will catch you up on everything else with the Patriots. We'll update any of the injuries, any players that are out as we go 1-3 today before Boston College football here on WEEI with Fitzy, Mego, and Hart, 617-779-7937. But now let us catch you up on what's going on in the wide world of sports with Trending Now. And our producer is taking care of a technical issue in the other room, and he actually can't press the button that plays the music. So we'll continue our discussion. And also, he can't screen the calls to find out who's on the line, and I'm not allowed to legally take the calls. So the discussion will continue.
I was trying to give you the trending music there.
Oh, nice.
That would be, failed. That would be, glad you said tried.
Somebody has sponsored trending, and we got to do all that, too. So we'll wait a second because, radio stations powered by technology have issues. Let's go to the text line. What are the people saying at 37937 Mega?
They think Brandon Bolden will be doing it. And this is actually a really good point just to what we were talking about earlier. This is from area code 857. Pats have a quick turnaround. They need to win tomorrow because they're off to Atlanta Thursday night. If anything, Atlanta is the trap game. Because that Thursday night, that short turnaround, and you've been nursing these injuries throughout the whole season, and maybe those guys are still in, have their bells rung,
right,
as we're supposed to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, that is just on the horizon, and it's one of those things where you have to wonder, like, are they also in a position where this is the point of the marathon where it's like, oh my God, I'm at mile 19 and I have that to go.
But between the two, though, Mego, you need to win tomorrow's game versus the Atlanta game because one's in conference and one is out of conference. And we know that's what they look towards, especially with so many teams, the Raiders, the Chiefs, the Colts, all hovering, the Steelers. Now, the Ravens, the Bengals, so many teams are.
Is anyone in the AFC good?
I mean, everyone is basically hovering at like 4-5, 5-4, maybe 6-3. So it makes it a little difficult to figure. That's why that win tomorrow would be so enormous for the Patriots.
Everybody's good in the AFC. I don't know that there's very many teams that are very good or great or are going to be able to separate themselves from the pack mid-major kind, if we're going to talk college basketball, or, you know, slightly above average. The Bolden idea, though, the one problem there is, are we just going to have Brandon Bolden do everything?
I understand the guy's flex seal. But at the same time, how much can he do? You've already stretched him well beyond what you imagined you would have gotten out of him this year. Trading Michelle, kind of regretting-ish that a little bit. James White goes down. They were going to rely on him a ton, especially with Mac Jones as a rookie quarterback. So I think you've basically asked, the Honda Accord, the Toyota Camry that is Brandon Bolden to do enough already as it is. So
that's mean.
They're perfectly fine rides.
They're very popular, too.
He's at least a Civic.
Is a Civic cooler than an Accord?
Accord's nicer.
An Accord's an upgrade, yes.
Oh, yeah. Accord's more expensive.
Not a car gal.
Yeah,
nope. My bad.
Civic's the low end. Civic's
I drive an HRV, by the way, and suddenly everybody's driving HRVs.
Well, I drive a CRV.
A trendsetter.
I got a Ridgeline.
It's got the wacky doors in the back. My brother told me they were ugly, so there's that.
Oh, is that the one with the door handles, like, way up high?
Yeah, they're not way up high. They're just on the side.
Yeah, they're not where, they've been on every vehicle forever.
They're not traditional door handles. Some people like to get a little weird with their Hondas.
Guys, you can also visit WEEI.com for the new episodes of Mego and Andy's Car Talk, which
I would love to do a car show.
Click and clack.
Yeah, no question.
All right, can we trend, please? Let's catch you up on sports.
The Real Post Game Show, this Sunday after the game.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Cars, technical malfunctions, bells being rung. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com, along with this compelling sports information. The Celtics last night beat the Bucks 122-113 in overtime. Dennis Schroeder had himself a game last night. This is the guy I remember playing for the Hawks and being a thorn in the Celtics side years ago. Best game we've seen, obviously, since he put on the green. Game high, 38 points. Jason Tatum had a double-double with 27 points and 11 rebounds and missed the shot that could have actually given them the win in regulation, but I digress. Jaylen Brown did not play due to the lingering hamstring injury. The Celtics are back in action tonight as they play the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. As we've been discussing here in the first part of Fitzy, Mego, and Hart, the Patriots host the Browns tomorrow in a pivotal AFC showdown. Kickoff is scheduled for 1 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. Nick Chubb, running back of the Cleveland Browns, has been ruled out after being placed on the COVID-19 list alongside running back Demetric Felton. Jamie Collins is listed as doubtful, and 12 Patriots are considered questionable, including running backs Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris, who are both questionable with concussions, or as Mego said, the Bruce Brain Club. That was just unfortunate.
I was just trying to make it cute.
Try to make it cute. Don't. Andy Hart's greatest quote to date. The Bruins, meanwhile, head to New Jersey. Lucky them to play the Devils today at 1 p.m. Stiz, can you effort a score for us before we finish trending? Thank you. The Bulls and the Heat are both in the advanced stages of a tampering investigation over the signings of Lonzo Ball and Kyle Lowry. Facing a $10 million fine, a loss of draft picks, and suspensions of team executives. U.S. men's national team beat Mexico last night 2-0. And in other NFL news, John Gruden is suing the NFL after he was, quote, forced to resign. He claims that Commissioner Goodell, quote, sought to destroy his career. And Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Robert Woods is out for the season following the trade of Odell Beckham, in which he tore his ACL yesterday at practice. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Your calls about Pats and Browns coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back to Fitzy and Mego on EEI.
I was just listening to a podcast about the East versus West.
Yep.
Biggie and Tupac murders, the whole thing. Like, the, mm-hmm. But it goes in depth, like really far back to the where Suge Knight came from and everything.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it. Last podcast on the left.
That's what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
I was just
about this because we got Snoop on.
No joke. We are completely harmonic and on the same wavelength. I was having a long conversation last night with a buddy about Tupac's murder, Suge Knight, and then dovetailed off of his wife, who went to Big Night Live a couple weeks ago at the Garden and saw Snoop and said, you know, still in his early 50s, absolutely bringing it, that the show was phenomenal. Andy, are you a Snoop Dogg fan?
Yes.
Oh, it was also full of marijuana smoke.
It was fun.
It was for the kids.
Who's not a Snoop Dogg? I mean, he's like crossover, like everywhere guy.
My mom. I got in trouble for having the doggy. I'm not going to say the name of the album, mm-hmm. but I had the cassette tape as an elementary school kid.
She's like, this is not appropriate for you.
She was like, what the hell? How did you get this? I was like, Mom, you were in the store with me at Tower Records when I bought this.
Way to turn that table. I like it.
It had a man with dog on the front. And you were like, oh, sure, whatever.
This looks adorable.
Dog tape. Go for it.
Not that this has anything to do with anything. Andy, think about it real quick. First cassette you ever bought, I can remember mine to this day, Quiet Riot, Metal Health. Remember that one?
Yeah.
No.
See, all right.
And again. Andy doesn't listen to music.
That's right.
He's a robot, so.
No, that's right. No.
I do listen to some. I put it on my country mix.
He's a Russian troll
bot. I think it was.
You wake up in the morning and you're all charged up from your robot bed, and then you put your visor on to hide all your robot seams in your head, and then you go down to Gillette.
I do have a visor on right now.
I knew it.
I think it was Licensed to Ill, Beastie Boys.
Oh, classic.
That's a good one.
Absolute classic. We'll play that on a rejoin coming back. To the calls we go real quick before we move on to McCorkle, one of the topics always here in New England. Let's get David in the car, who I believe wants to talk about someone he thinks could be a key for the Patriots tomorrow. What up, David?
Well, yeah. Well, first, Snoop Dogg did that thing with Martha Stewart. Well, I mean, that's just the craziest combination you've ever heard in your life.
Yep. No,
and they,
really.
And they had great chemistry. And they had.
Remember when Remember when Martha went to prison and she came out and she was ripped and she looked awesome?
Well, my thing is a bomb war, man. Wasn't he a thing of fresh air with his enthusiasm? I mean, if his motor is half as fast as his mouth, that guy is going to be insane, you know?
Yeah, he's tough to quote. I struggle with the transcription of him when he is flying. I kind of, you know, take some liberties.
Oh, robot does Alabama. Not compute.
He's an Alabama guy, too. So, I mean, the sky's the limit. Sky's the limit, I hope. Thank you, folks.
Appreciate you, David. Thanks so much for listening to WEEI Sports Saturday. Barmore has been, of the two Alabama guys, you could say at this point, the way he's been coming on the last couple weeks, Barmore really is starting to maybe not pull even with how beloved Mac is or how accomplished Mac is only 9 games into his pro career. But I would almost say that Barmore has been as if not more impactful the last couple weeks. Like he is a force on the field, getting pressure, beating even double teams. Andy, he's quick, he's powerful. Tell me if you think this comp is off. Everyone wants, you know, the next Richard Seymour, since everyone's doing the whole 2021 to 2001 thing. Someone else said this week, looks like a slightly quicker Ty Warren. What do you think about that?
Definitely more athletic than Ty Warren, in my opinion. I think he's closer to Seymour. I know everybody.
You do?
You know,
okay.
I do. I think he's tall, athletic, versatile, probably not quite as athletic and versatile as Seymour was, but he's of, and he's so young that I don't know what he's going to be in 2, 3, 4 years when he starts to really kind of harness his athletic ability and then combine that with the football knowledge that's been bestowed on him by Saban and Belichick. You know, he's one of those guys. He starts everything raving about, you know, he's just so honored and so lucky to be coached by the greatest football coach ever. Like, that's how he starts every Zoom session. And guys seem to love him. I know Slater, Philly's finest right there, Philly's finest. And they rave about his energy. Yeah, I think he's really interesting. You know what this reminds me of? You guys may not remember this, but when they drafted Lawrence Maroney in the first round and yep. Chad Jackson in the second round,
oh boy,
they told us, you know, we feel really fortunate. We were actually considering taking Jackson in the first round, and these are our two special picks. It's like we got two first-round picks. That's what this is, because there were a lot of people that were mocking Barmore to the Patriots at 15,
yep.
and they took Jones instead.
Present
and
company
then took
included.
Swung back around, traded up, and got Barmore in the second round. So you got your two Alabama Roll Tide first-round picks, and you could be looking at the heart of the offense and the defense for about a decade.
I think people don't talk about that enough, is that people talk about, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, what the Niners did, and then Jones was just sitting there waiting for, you know, to be picked up by Bill. But, yeah, Barmore was supposed to be, you know, first-round guy, and they got him at a steal. So, I mean, they at least at this very preliminary time, looking back, they won out big on two picks that shouldn't have fallen to them.
So as far as Mac Jones goes, lot to unpack there, as the kids like to say.
Do the kids like to say that?
Never heard
like
it from a kid.
Do they walk into the
Never,
room and your four-year-old is like, Dad, lot to unpack there.
Boy, Dad, I just...
nope. Hang around a lot of kids, my son's friends. What kids are you hanging around?
All right,
around that
as professional as analysts, as professionals like to say, a lot to unpack there. First things first about this whole, and are we on the other side of the whole, like, Mac's a dirty player, Brian Burns thing? Like, is that the most overblown story, at least locally, involving the Patriots on the season thus far? Because I was there, I saw it. Didn't look that dirty. I've watched the replay. I've seen people say it's not. I've watched especially Carolina fans say it's awful. Brian Burns went so far as to post an actual old-fashioned wanted poster on Reddit.
Do we know that that came from him for sure? Because it was on Reddit.
Or at least it was on, excuse me.
I don't trust anything on Reddit.
Nope.
No.
Like, I love Reddit. I don't trust
it. He promoted it or laughed at it. He shared it. So as far as I'm concerned, he gave his consent or his blessing to it.
Outlaw Mac Jones.
Yes, the no good, nefarious McCorkle
that
Jones.
That darn Mac Joker. Jones. I'm in the middle of reading Lonesome Dove right now, and they don't
still?
Actually...
Still?
Yeah, it's so
well,
long.
I know, it's 900 pages.
It's, I think, 1,200 pages, but
really?
They don't say... They don't swear at all. They just say Dern, D-E-R-N, and it sounds like a Mac Jones word.
Why are you reading that?
It's a,
why?
Because it's one of the great books of all time.
Curran recommended it to me. It's actually awesome.
Seems overwhelming. I think I would look at the number of pages and be like, yep.
So,
robot
so
does not compute.
As far as like impactful defensive ends go, you know, the Brian Burns story this week had a lot of legs. Locally, we had to cover it just because, even though we all thought it was ludicrous. So, as you were mentioning earlier, Andy, NFL sack leader and defensive player of the year candidate Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns was asked about the Mac Jones ankle twist and had this little bit of wit to offer.
Of course, I watched it, and you know, I'll hold my comments on that one. And I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen to me. I don't know. He doesn't turn into like the ankle grabber. I don't know. So we'll see.
The ankle grabber.
Super clever there.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. It was awful.
It was so bad.
Like,
it was,
that was
so
one of the
bad.
Worst sound. First he says he's going to hold his comments, then he doesn't. He keeps talking, and then he has a terrible nickname for him. Like, the whole thing. I don't understand any of this. Like, I don't really have a problem if you think it was kind of dirty. Now, if you say it's, you know, that idiot from Yahoo Sports who said it was dirtier than anything Ndamukong Suh ever did. Okay, now you're a moron. If you think it was just sort of a
you got to be
run of the mill,
somebody said that.
Oh my God, you didn't read that column?
Was that a Charles Robinson piece or something? Or
no, Frank Schwab.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I know who you're talking about.
It was idiotic.
Dirtier than anything Ndamukong Suh, who literally stomped on humans.
Yep. So what I did, just to like just to kind of give him credit or whatever. Like, I went to YouTube, just punched in Ndamukong Suh dirty plays and watched the first video that popped up. It took me less than like 30 seconds to say, well, that's way dirtier right there. And I was into like a 6-minute video compilation of his career of dirty plays. It was so dumb and over the top that I truly do believe, Fitzy, the whole Patriots paranoia is back. The Patriots are in people's heads. People freak out one way or the other. They just, there's a whole thing there because, again, I think it was a little dirty. I'm not really sure he thought he had the ball. That's a good story that he and Belichick came up with, and I appreciate that they stayed on the same page. But to still be talking about it and asking for an apology like Brian Burns was on Wednesday, are you, like, he realizes he plays football, right? He realizes he stayed in the game, and he knocked Damian Harris into the, what does Mago call it, the bruised brain club. Like,
right.
Your career was not, you know, ended in any way. You stayed in the game. And we've also come to find out he apparently has been dealing with a little bit of an ankle issue beforehand. So we don't even know that this really did absolutely anything to him. Like, grow up, move on, and play a big boy sport of football.
Dude, you're missing the point here completely. This was Myles Garrett calling out.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, that's
calling out. The guy who pulled Rudolph's helmet off his head and then tried to swing it at him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he does
that.
He almost
killed 10 years ago. This is like
was thrown out of football for half a season until he had a meeting with the commissioner and everyone else at 3:45, swinging a helmet at a quarterback and almost killing him, or at least damaging his head, causing significant damage. But oh, I hope Mac Jones doesn't grab. First of all, you're Myles Garrett. You literally look like He-Man. Like you look like a bodybuilder. You're one of the strongest people in all professional sports, and you get drug tested all the time for your absurd Adonis-like physique. And it's Mac Jones. He's not going to do that. I'm sorry. I don't care how sociopathic he can be, how competitive he can be, how crazy Mac Jones may be, you know, on the surface or well below it. I don't buy into the fact that he tried to twist another guy's ankle and do harm to him like a pro wrestler or somebody, you know, in an alley or a street fight. That's just insane to me. But the fact that this guy would respond in that capacity and say, like, oh, I hope he didn't do it to me. Yeah, I'm sure Mac Jones tomorrow. Well, first of all, we hope he doesn't either, because that means a bad play just happened. And B, I think he knows better.
Self-awareness is a precious commodity.
How soft, right?
People. I mean, just think about it. If somebody asked me that and I was in his position, just be like, maybe I'm not the guy to answer that. I don't know. Like, we'll see. Everybody makes mistakes, right? I mean, that's what it basically came down to. I think that Mac panicked. It was a panic play. He was trying to make a play. He was on the ground. He reached for whoever he thought was making the play, and that's what it was. Yes, it was dirty, but I don't think it was malicious, which some people have called it. Dirty, yes. Malicious, no. People make dirty plays all over the field. It's not an Angels game. Like, grow up.
All right, let's break it off right here. 617-779-7937. Pay a couple of bills. When we come back on the topic of the Mac, let's continue this discussion. Do we think that maybe people are overhyping or overrating Mac Jones a little bit? And how does he compare to the quarterback on the other side of the field tomorrow, Baker Mayfield? 617-779-7937. It's WEEI Sports Saturday. Fitzy, Mego, and Hart.
More Boston sports talk now. This is Fitzy and Mego on EEI.
It's the Thuggish Ruggish Ball.
Everybody needs to understand, you know, chances of winning with a rookie like Mac Jones is not going to be the way that it normally goes. You know, it's just that New England had such the perfect setup up there for a rookie quarterback, and they got the guy that they programmed with the critical Patriot theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's all set up there, and he's set up perfectly.
Boomer Esiason appearing last Monday on The Greg Hill Show, as he does each and every Patriots Monday. Love that critical Patriot theory line by there. Boomer's always a great listen, as is Bone Thugs in Harmony, which is the rejoin music brought to us by our producer, Stanley Stiz Grimy Bruno, which he just informed us, Mego, from Cleveland.
I didn't know that either.
That's right.
They're the ones that sing, it's the first of the month,
that's right,
which is how
see
I feel.
See you at the crossroads. Is that also a Bone Thugs in Harmony song?
That's right.
They
have the...
Andy, name your favorite Bone Thugs song.
Ghetto Cowboy.
I remember liking that.
You better count your money. Yeah, that's a good one. Do you know that one, Stiz?
I do. Yeah. First of their kind. There wasn't really a lot of rap groups rapping like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that ends the new WEI podcast, Rap Talk, which you can download right next to Mego and Andy's CarTalk at WEI.com/podcast. Okay, so Boomer's talking about Mac being the perfect fit, landing in the perfect situation, critical patriot theory. Good jab in line by Boomer there. Obviously, from day one, Andy, we talked about he seemed like a perfect fit. He'd be the, you know, the perfect kid for McDaniels to groom. He comes in. He is intelligent. He is a playbook monster. He is highly competitive. He is very accurate. All the attributes, all the traits and qualities we would want.
He is 12 years old. He goes to bed at 8:30.
Eats chocolate chip cookies every night. And has for a pregame breakfast steak and spaghetti.
And stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Probably keeps goldfish in his backpack and puts Parmesan cheese from Kraft on everything.
Oh, they got ketchup. Smooshed again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I was just eating goldfish crumbs and, like, the chugging playbook, from the Pringles can again.
The playbook smooshed my PB&J.
This took a turn from a likable kind of guy to you guys mocking him.
Oh, we're just having fun.
I love it.
Because he's great. He's
bullying.
He seems very vanilla, but he's so far from it. I digress. Andy, Mac Jones seems like the perfect fit. Everyone's loving him. Rookie of the year. This guy's great. How did they let him fall to the Patriots? I'm not knocking him. There's nothing really to knock about him. But last couple weeks, definitely has plateaued a little bit. Only 18 for 35. A couple big throws against the Chargers, but not his best game. Missed a couple of big ones as well. Stat line might have looked different, Mego, had he actually connected with Kendrick Bourne on that pass by the goal line. And then last week, didn't do much at all. What did he attempt? 18 passes? 21 passes? Like, really not a lot on that front last week as well. So, Andy, is the world overrating Mac Jones a little bit right now, heading into tomorrow's showdown versus Baker and the Browns?
Of course. That's what we do with quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks and quarterbacks with limited track record. The world's also overrating Justin Fields off of one performance. And I have to read Mel Kiper telling me, looks like the Bears have the best quarterback in the NFC North for the next 10 to 12 years. You got that all out of like a quarter of positive play in which he lost the game? This is what we do. And I wrote a column about it a couple weeks ago. And we build quarterbacks up to eventually tear them down. We start to then take pot shots at them. We see their limitations or their failures because they can't live up to the aura, as Cam Newton would say, that we created for them from outside the organization. And he's a Patriot, so there's that added angle to it. Yeah, he hasn't been great. The offense hasn't been great. And there's reason to question whether, as I did last night with Mutt, that he and the passing game, the lack of weapons, could be eventually your Achilles heel, your inability to make a big play at a key time in a playoff game. He's been good, not great, but yeah, the hype train is running out of control down the hill across the ice in Polar Express.
It's something we've been saying for a while where he is so mistake averse that he doesn't take the risks that would change the game. And sometimes that's not to say that he hasn't thrown deep, because he certainly has. And in some cases, he's thrown to wide open Jacoby Myers, who strangely drops the ball, which is in the middle of the field. Yeah, which is just not like Jacoby. Just can't get that out of my head. And Nelson Aguilar, who continues to have bricks for hands at different points of key games. So it's not all on him not being able to, you know, make that extremely glamorous highlight play. But I agree. I think that if there's anything to knock about him so far is that he hasn't taken that next step. He's still very much in the don't lose the game, be in the safe zone, do exactly what the coaches say. You know, take sometimes the more comfortable option rather than, you know, I don't want to go to the no risk it, no biscuit thing. But like he's whatever the opposite of no risk it, no biscuit is right. Mac Jones's game. And it's worked. It's worked really well for how he's worked through all of the coaches' game plans. And he's said that enough to us in pressers. We get it. Like, you listen to the coaches. But I would like to see him step up and really take the game into his own hands at different points.
Okay, so on the season, guys, Mac Jones, all those, again, the math, the numbers, the nerds, the advanced analytics, the PFF stuff, they were saying for a couple week stretch he was the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. He's so good in this these kind of throws, short and intermediate. He was tops in the NFL. At this point now, after these last couple games, he's significantly leveled off. 2,135 yards, 15th in the NFL. 10 touchdowns, tied for 20th. 7 picks, tied for 21st. And an overall QBR of 49, which is 21st in the league. So that would tell you, like, the Patriots are getting adequate to sometimes inadequate quarterback play. Yet what we've watched in your eyes, they tell you that you've been getting better than average quarterback play, or at least he's been doing all that they ask of him. tomorrow, though, is that the game where they have to put it in his hands and say, we don't have healthy running backs. We need you to make the short and intermediate throws that we saw you make at Alabama. We need you to find a way to put up 20 points against Cleveland. So that's why this is kind of a sneaky huge game for Mac, as it is the Pats as well. To the calls we go real quick before we take a break. Kevin in Quincy, South Shore in the house. What's up? Welcome to WEI.
Hey, what's up, Fitzy?
How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. I find it a little bit unfair to critique his pass attempts. Wouldn't that be on McDaniels and the coordinators? I mean, he attempted 18 passes last week. I believe he completed 12 of them. I mean, I know he had the pickoff, but, I mean, he can't be held accountable for attempts. We have three good running backs. They have a game plan, which is to run the ball. I don't understand.
Percentage is solid, and thanks for the call, Kevin. He's 204 for 300 on this. He's already attempted 300 passes. That's probably more than we even thought he would have, because he had to attempt a lot of passes in the earlier games when the running game didn't get going. 300 on the season, that's a lot. That means he's going to finish with probably well over 500 attempts on the season. It's not the attempts. Sometimes I think people grouse about the quality of the attempts or the fact that maybe bigger shots were available, Mego, and he checks down for the safer or surer routes.
The one thing I will say you completely can't overrate about Mac is how Teflon he is. Oh, my God. The number of hits that this kid has taken during this season where I'm like, is that his elbow? Is he hurt? And then he just pops right back up. And it's crazy because, let's face it, his body isn't exactly in prime football condition yet. He's a young kid, so
right.
There's definitely elasticity to him. You know, he doesn't have the creaky knees or anything yet that we get as our lives go on. But he just pops right back up, and it looks like he bounces back from physical hits but also mistakes, and it's like, okay, on to the next play. And athletes say that they try to do that all the time, but it's rare that you see it as consistently as he does it.
And you love to see that resilience about him, Andy, physically and emotionally as well.
No question. You know, but he might have some natural pliability to him, as the former quarterback would say, thanks to the chocolate chip cookies and the mochi and the various things that
he... Saying he has a little padding there?
I would say he's not... He doesn't look like Brady Quinn when he came out of Notre Dame. Was, you know, pumping out 225 as the only quarterback at the combine,
right.
And he's a little softer, a little more pliable. But I will say we also have the elephant in the room here that I think we're going to get to next hour. We're talking all
don't
about
call
Mac.
Him elephant.
No, come on.
I like elephants.
You
I'm
said
Jumbo
we
Hart,
were
baby.
Mocking him.
I'm not. I love
okay,
Mac.
Okay, give me that big market tease, baby.
So we're talking a lot about Mac and the offense and the passing game. Most people don't believe that Mac has great weapons or playmakers or guys that can win one-on-one battles in the passing game at either receiver or even some disappointment with Jonnu Smith at the tight end position. If his weapons were better, like they were at Alabama, maybe he'd be making more big plays, but at least one of us on this show believes that the Patriots do have elite weapons and maybe better weapons than a team that was in the Super Bowl a year ago.
Oh, you want to go down the I would. Okay, you know what?
Okay,
fine.
We're going there.
You want to go
there.
You want to get there? We'll get
yep.
there eventually. In hour number two, 617-779-7937. Everything Pats and Browns is on the table with Fitzy and Mego and Hart. Don't you go anywhere.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.